comes and ministers.
Let's give the Lord some praise tonight. Lord, we give you praise and glory, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, everything that we do, Lord, is because of you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may be seated. We've kept you standing a long time. We appreciate you responding to the Holy Ghost, letting God move in this place. We appreciate that. It's much better to come and let God move and have His way than it is to try to force our own agendas. I said this morning, sometimes we just need to slow down and let God do what He wants to do. Amen. I told Brother Worthen, I said, you just do what God is telling you to do. Don't you worry about me. I'll catch up. Amen. God can do more in 5 minutes than I can do in an hour. Amen. And I've come to terms with that. I've just come to terms with that God doesn't need me. He just chooses me. He just chooses to use this vessel. He doesn't need me. He just chose to use me. And tonight I just want to be a vessel worthy of Him. I give honor to our ministry here, our ministry team. God bless you. You know who you are. I have the privilege tonight of being the one to wrap up before our pastor comes home. He'll be back on Wednesday night. And I've had the honor to be with these men as they give their heart to you and give what God has given us to you. The first part of this service was all about Him. It's always about Him. This last half of this service is about you. You see, we got to praise Him. When we praise Him, God pours out on us. He gives us a word. Amen. Brother Danny, it's good to see you, my friend. Me and Brother Danny Rogers go back a long ways. He can tell you a lot of stories. God has done some great things in our life, and it's all because of Him. It's all because of Him. We all have our low points in life, and we all have points in our life that we wish we could just turn away and erase, but God says, I don't want you to don't erase that just yet. Because there's a time in your life when you're going to need to remember it. You're going to need to remember the times when I spoke to you when it was quiet outside. You're going to need to remember the times that I spoke your name in the darkness and you felt like nobody was listening to you. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight. I'm trying to get there, I promise. Brother Pace, I love you, man. I apologize to him publicly. That's tongue in cheek for harassing him before he got ready to preach Wednesday night. But if you know Brother Pace and you know our relationship, you would understand. I told my wife, we were talking a few weeks ago about here at our church, we have a care minister list, and I have a list of people like the rest of the ministers here, and I have special relationships with mine. I don't know why. What you see here is just what I am. I'm not anybody else. I'm not anything special. I kid, I laugh, I joke, and Sister McGinn, God bless her, she's not feeling well tonight, but I'm sure she's watching. I love her to death. She gives it right back to me just as hard as I give it back to her. And sometimes if you're not watching, you think, well, he's being awful mean to her. Well, you just got to know all the story. You got to know the rest of the story. Amen? That's all right. But God knows. He knows that I love you, and I love each one of you dearly. I pray for you, and pray God does great things in your life and great things in your family. I want to preach to you tonight about a simple subject, but very powerful subject. My title tonight is called The Power of the Audible. The Power of the Audible. Brother Barrow, where'd he go? He's up running the video. He preached, I think he was one of the first ones to preach this month. He preached a message and it got my attention. And not that the others didn't get my attention. And sometimes the title really, something just sticks with you. And he preached a simple message, but yet profound message about the elephants are coming. And you have to go back in the archives and listen to it. And when he was talking, God began to speak to me about the power of an audible. You see, there's something different about an audible. I'm going to give you a definition so we're all on the same page. I want everybody to be on the same page of what this is. And I looked this up because I'm not a big sports guy. So it's funny for me to use a sports terminology. My wife thinks that's hilarious that I would even come up with that. But that's okay. God gave it to me, so we're going to go with it. An audible is a term I think most of us have heard of. Most of us are familiar with it. Some are familiar with it more than others. Most have heard the terminology of call an audible. The Urban Dictionary describes call an audible as this: to decide at the last second after seeing all possible options and obstacles that have come. It comes from the terminology in football. When a quarterback goes to the line of scrimmage and sees the defensive alignment, it wasn't what he was expecting. So he adjusts his players, he adjusts his teammates by yelling out the code word for the audible. It can be different for every team. Every quarterback has their own code word that their team knows specific. And when they hear the code word for the audible, they know there's about to be a change made. You see, they were already in the huddle, and they already got the directions from the sideline from the coach. The coach communicated to the quarterback, which communicated to the team. In the huddle, they got the lineup. They got, okay, you're standing. They knew where they were going to be. But at the line of scrimmage, at the last moment, the quarterback who's driving the team, whose sole purpose is to move, thank you, this ball. Now, I'm not a quarterback. My hands ain't big enough to hold this thing. And if I had my lapel mic on, I'd look really good with it. But you just follow me. The job of that quarterback is to move this ball down to the end zone for their team. That's what he's getting paid to do. That's his sole purpose, is to get this ball at that end of the field, not at the other end of the field. It's always going the direction he's facing. This ball is to go in the direction he's facing. If it goes behind him, it's bad. It's really bad for him. Something went wrong. So at the last minute, there's one person on that field. Both teams line up against each other on the line of scrimmage. The coaches are not on the field. There's nobody else out there but the guys that are getting ready to go into combat with one another. There's one guy with a ball. The guy with the ball gets the opportunity to call the audible. And when he sees at that last moment that the plans need to change, he gives the code word for the audible. And he gives the audible to his team. He's reading the other team. God spoke to me this week, and he's been rolling this over in my mind how I was going to try to present this. Because there's times in every one of your lives that somebody has got to call an audible. That somebody's got to call the audible.
You see, God has already given us direction. He's the coach on the pastor's the coach on the other on the sideline. He's saying, I've already preached the word. I've already given you the word. I've given you the direction. I've told you it's got to go that way. Now it's up to you to pick up the ball, pick up the mantle, and make it happen. But at the last moment, there's always going to be an opposition to you. Every step that you make, every step that you take in progress, there's always going to be opposition to meet you. You see, it would never be a game if there was never anybody on the other side of the line of scrimmage. What's the big deal? We just walk down there and get it. But that's not the way it's played. And we walk through life thinking that's the way life should be for us. That it should be no opposition on the other side, Brother Worthen. But God has ordained that there will always be something to resist you. Because he needs to prove you. He needs to prove you before you get to the other side. He needs to prove in you before he gives you what he wants to put on you. Many times in our life, we find ourselves making decisions on the fly. We don't often think about the outcome. We just got to make a decision. In times of medical emergencies, we pay people in ER rooms to make quick decisions. We expect them to know their job. We expect them to know the right medication to give that person. And if it's our loved one, we really expect them to know what they're doing in that position right there. There is one person in that ER room that's calling the audibles. There's one person in that doctor, I expect him to know what he's doing when he's standing there. When my daughter was hurt, she was in that terrible crash, she had a brain bleed. When we walked into the hospital, we expected one man to know what was going on. I did not want to talk to the nurses. No offense, God love you, but I know we need you. But I needed to talk to the man in charge. I needed to hear the man that was going to call the audible that was going to take care of my baby girl. Because something had to be done. I didn't know what to do. So there had to be somebody willing to call the audible. We find ourselves in positions that we don't want to be in. For many of us, those positions are often outside of the will of God in our lives. Sadly to speak, many of us, most of us tonight, could relate to that simple statement right there. Every time I find myself in a place that I don't want to be in, if you look back, you can almost exactly point to the place I'm outside of the will of God. I'm struggling outside of the will of God. You say, well, Brother Gunderman, what happens when I know that I'm in the will of God and I'm still struggling? You keep pushing forward. You keep pushing forward. Not every play does the quarterback call an audible. Not every time does he get up and call a different play. In fact, there are very few times that he does call a different play. But when he calls a different play, he's expected to know the outcome. He's expected to know that there's going to be a change for the positive. I'll read you my text in Micah 7 and 8. Micah is one of the minor prophets, one of the 12 minor prophets. We find him in the Old Testament, nearing the finishing of the Old Testament. He's not a prophet that we preach from very often. But there's this scripture here that every once in a while I just need to remind the devil of. Every once in a while I got to bring it up and put it in his face and say, this is my audible. Don't bother me. Rejoice not over me. And this is a different translation. Oh, mine enemy,
When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Rejoice not over me or against me, O mine enemy. We all have one enemy. It's not your brothers and sisters. It's not, if you can look at them and you can look to your left and look to your right and you see flesh and blood beside you, that's not your enemy. That's your brothers and sisters. We're not called to fight one another. We're called to fight the things that we cannot see. I've come here tonight to tell you it's time for you to call an audible. I believe God has sent me here to this place, to this pulpit tonight. Let me preface this by saying this. I do not believe anything happens out of happenstance. I believe everyone that's here tonight is ordained by God to be here. If you're listening tonight on live streaming, God ordained for you to listen tonight. If you listen to this CD at some later date, God has already worked it out and has already ordained for you to hear this. It's time for you to stand up and cry an audible. I don't know your code word, Brother Danny. I don't know it, but God knows it. God knows the audible. God knows, Brother Bunch, where you're at. God sees each one of us at each point in our life and is asking us, are you going to change? Do you want to change? Do you want change in your life? Do you want to be the same that you were? Do you want to leave here the same that you came in? Do you want the same that I was yesterday? You see, the scripture says about God is that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't say that about us. It says that about him. You see, we have to continually change. We got to continually evolve to become more like him. We must change. We must move forward. We must press the line of scrimmage. If you think for one moment that the enemy, Satan, is going to let you have one step, you got another thing coming. Let this preacher remind you, he's not willing to give up any ground. He's not willing to give up any stronghold. He's not willing to unlock any lock that he has on you. He had to work to get it there. He's not going to work to unlock it. If you want it unlocked, you're going to have to break it. If you want the yoke broken off your neck, you're going to have to be the one that says, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of living like this. God, I'm calling the audible right now. God, that means I'm going the other way. The only person that can call an audible in life is you. I can't call it for you. I can only call it for myself. When you call out an audible, it means something is about to happen. It means something is not going to stay the same. What I was 5 minutes ago is not going to be what I am right now. And 3 minutes from now. Let me remind you. I'm just going to have to follow the Holy Ghost. Brother Pace, you shut me off at 7:20. That's an inside joke. Too long, we blame our problems on everybody else. Too long, we want pastor to fix it. We want the associate pastors to take it. We want the ministry to carry it. But really, it belongs to me. Point your finger at yourself. Say, it belongs to me. It belongs to me. It belongs right here.
I'm the one who changes it. I'm the one who changes direction. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday and forever. He said, I'm still here. I'm still the same God that brought you out. I'm still the same God that set you on a rock. I'm still the same God that gave you the Holy Ghost. I'm still the same God that washed you and purified you. He said, I didn't change. I didn't call an audible. He said, I didn't need to call one. I spoke it and it became that. You see, and the thing about the audible is that when I release it, I'm telling everybody around me. I'm telling my teammates. More importantly, I'm telling the devil. I'm telling the spirit. I'm letting the angels know that, hey, there's about to be an about face. I'm getting ready to go a different direction. God said you're supposed to be over here, and I'm getting ready to move. I'm tired of walking down the wrong path. I'm tired of going down the wrong way. It's time. I'm telling God, I'm ready to move, Lord. If you're moving over here, that's where I'm going. You've got to be ready. You've got to move. We cannot stay stagnant. We talk about, and we preach about revival. I believe revival is already here. I believe that we used to say we're on the precipices of revival. We can no longer say that. I believe we've already stepped through the door. We've already stepped over the threshold of revival. It's already being poured out. It's already being poured out all around us. Only you can make changes. I know there are those among us, you've been hurt. Men have hurt you. Men have handled you wrong. Men in the pulpit have handled you abruptly. They've been abrasive to you. Men in relationships have been abrasive to you. But that wasn't God. God has always loved us. He's always loved you. Can I just be real with you tonight? God has never forgot you. God has never cast you to the side. When we were unlovable, He was always loving us. When I was unlovable, He was always loving me. When I was undone and unclean, He was there to make me right. The time has come for us to say, yet, for me to say, yes, Lord. The promises of the Lord are yes and amen. He says amen because it's finished. He says yes because I'm going to give it to you, but amen because I'm going to finish it. He does not finish a work that He starts. If God spoke to you and said, I'm going to give you a church. If God spoke to you and said, I'm going to give you an anointing that surpasses all anointing that you've seen, then you might as well go ahead and take it to the bank because God already done it. He said, well, I can't see it yet and I don't feel it yet. That's okay. God said, if you go ahead and rejoice on it and go ahead and claim it, I'll go ahead and do it. I'll go ahead and allow it to go ahead and pour out. David said, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. I don't want to embarrass my dad, and he'll tell you this. I didn't rehearse this with him. He was raised in this just like I was. My dad, for reasons that don't matter. When you look at eternity, our excuses for why we do things they don't even matter anymore. When you look at eternity and what we face in eternity, the excuses for why we offer God, why we turned and went the different direction, they're pitiful. If you talk to him, he'll tell you about his life. He walked away from God for 22 years. I'm not trying to embarrass him. I give honor to him. And in that time period, God got a hold of my life. And I began to walk with God. And I walked with God, I think, for about 18 years of that 22. God called me to preach, feeling very inadequate, and many times I still do. But in that period of time frame, I would go and talk to him, and we would talk. Our relationship was a lot different than it is now. And he didn't want to hear about church. He knew all about church, but he didn't want to. You know how it is. You've been there. Most of us have been there at some point in our life. But I had to learn something in that time frame, was that I could not save him. What I could do was continue to live my life and live for God the best that I knew how. What I could do was continue to pray for him, continually pray that God would deal with his life, continually pray that God would breathe on the coals one more time. I'll never forget the phone call. I've told it here before. I was working on a Sunday. I think Brother Silvers might have been with me that day. I'm not sure. I got a phone call from my wife. As I had just kind of decided that my dad was going to do his own thing, and that when God was ready, God would get a hold of him. And that he knew more than I did about timeline. And I was working on a Sunday morning. I got a phone call from my wife. And she said, "Your dad's at church." I'm like, "Yeah, huh?" Because I didn't remember inviting him to come to church. I thought, did I invite him? I thought, if I usually invite somebody, I try to be there. She said, "Your dad's at church." I said, "That's cool." She goes, "That ain't the only thing. He's at the altar." I'm like, "He's where?" She said, "He's at the altar." I'm like, "My dad?" I'm picking on him. She said, "Yeah." She said, "Carolyn's there too." I said, "Praise God." She said, while we were talking, she's like, "You ain't gonna believe it. He's dancing with the pastor." I'm like, "He's what?" She said, "He's at the altar dancing with the pastor. And God's moving on his life. After 22 years, he chose to call an audible. He said, 'God, I'm ready to go the other way.' And when he said, 'I'm ready to go,' God said, 'All right, let's move.' All heaven began to move on his behalf." It wasn't anything that I did. I wasn't even in the building. I wasn't even in the same city. But God was moving. God knew the timeline that he needed to work on. God knew what he was doing. But it took him making the choice. It took his voice saying, "God, I'm ready for change. God, I can't live this anyway anymore. God, I'm done. I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to make a new start for you, Lord." Has it been easy? No. It's not been easy. He's grown. He's had to relearn. He's like, "I don't remember." We've had long conversations about what church is like. And God, in all his mercy, has done great things in his life. He's got a testimony that most of us don't have. Is it in that seat? He died one night in that seat, sitting where he's at. God raised him back up. He continually witnesses all over. Wherever he goes, he shares his testimony now, because he knows that God gave him a second chance. God gave him a second chance. God gave him a new life. God said, "If you'll make a step towards me, I'll make five towards you." God said, if you're willing to call the audible, I'm ready to move the team. It's time to change directions in your life. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody in this place tonight, God is waiting on you to change directions. He said, well, I'm still not sure. That's okay. Go ahead and say it anyway. Psalms 91 and 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I was praying yesterday, getting ready for tonight before Sister Morgan's funeral. And I've got a very specific place I pray at home when I'm getting ready to preach. I pray usually on my wife's side of our bed, kneeling on the floor on her side. I have a very specific place I go to meet God when I need to hear God's voice very clearly. And God began to speak to me in prayer. And I normally don't write down everything God gives me because I'm not sure always that it's, sometimes God speaks to us. It's not for everybody. Sometimes God just speaks to us because we need to hear it. We need to know that he's still there and he's still God and he still hears our voice. And he's still got our best interest in mind. But yesterday, as I was praying, God began to speak to me, and I felt impressed that I needed to write it down. Brother Bunch, I love what you're doing, man. You're doing a great job. I told him, I said, I think God's called you to be a scribe. He keeps track of what God speaks to the prayer meetings. When there's a tongues interpretation, he doesn't write it down immediately. It's usually the next morning, if I'm not mistaken, God brings it back to him, and he begins to pin it down, put it on paper. He'll bring it to the ministry because he feels that the ministry needs to know what God's speaking. And I appreciate that. Because you don't know how many times that's confirmed something that God's already told me, or he's beginning to deal with me about. In prayer, I'm going to share this with you, and I tried to write it down exactly how God gave it to me. So if you'll just bear with me. He gave me this about the 91st Psalm. He said, it's time to go to the secret place again. It's been a long time since you've been here. I thought, he said, you've thought about it many times. You've allowed circumstances to keep you out. You stood on the outside watching, longing to go back, but not feeling worthy to go in. You've convinced yourself that you can never go back. You long to hear my voice again. You long to be in my presence again. He said, I've never left that place we used to meet. He said, I frequent often looking and waiting for you to come back into my presence again. He said, you know my voice. He said, I'm calling. Can you hear me? I see your spirit longing to return back to me. I see the divide between us. I'm reaching for you. He said, I'm waiting for you to reach back. He said, I'm waiting for you to reach back. He
took me to a scripture, and I apologize because I did not look it up. Brother Worthen referenced it tonight about he inhabits the praises of his people. And now I'm stopping there with what I wrote down, what he gave me. Because I feel like he took me to a different direction at that point. He said, I asked God, I said, God, what does it take to unlock the door? You see, because it's not as if it was just an open place, he wouldn't call it a secret place. It's a confined place. It's a dedicated place. It's a special place. So I wanted to know, Brother Worthen, how do we unlock the door? You see, because I frequent that place, not bragging. I just do because I feel like I need to go there often. And I don't want to forget what it smells like there. I don't want to forget what it feels like when I get there. And I don't want to forget what his voice sounds like when I'm in that place with him. There's times when I don't get there as often as I should. But I know what it takes for me to get there. But I wanted to ask him. I said, God, because I know that there is somebody here tonight that is longing to go back and they don't know how to get there. I said, God, how do I help them? He took me to the scripture that says he inhabits the praises of his people. He told me, he said, when we give him our heartfelt praise and worship, that is the key that unlocks the door to the secret place with God. When we begin to praise and we begin to worship him, the keys begin to turn. The lock begins to open. He said, you need to remind my people that sometimes it takes more than 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes more than just a few seconds to open the door. He said, remind them that it's about spending time with me. It's about spending time with your first love all over again. He said, I'm hurt when my people treat me like a set of Cliff Notes. When we treat God like he's a set of Cliff Notes, it grieves his spirit. I said it this morning before Brother Southern preached such an awesome message that he preached about the voice of God. That we seek the hands of God because that's the power of God. It's the blessings of God. But we need to seek the face of God. When you seek the face of God, you will get all the other. When you seek the source from which the glory comes, you will get everything else that goes with it. But it requires relationship with him. It requires more than just a quick fix of, okay, I've got what I need and I'll see you later. The only reason we use Cliff Notes before a test is because we didn't study the book. They sell Cliff Notes in the bookstore for college students because I used to look at them and think about buying them. But they never had enough information. I didn't trust my professors because they knew there were other people buying the Cliff Notes. God said, I'm not a Cliff Note. He said, it's not a Cliff Note with me. It's a book. It's a relationship. You've got to come into this. You've got to walk into this thing. You've got to walk into this book. You've got to eat it. You've got to digest it. You've got to have a relationship with me. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We expect God to be faithful to us when we will not be faithful to Him. When we go looking for shortcuts, it's because we don't want to use the audible. Because we know that when I pull the audible out of my back pocket, it's going to require something different inside of me. That I better not make a mistake when I make the call. You know, we know that when I pull it out, that all hell is watching. And when I make the statement, all hell is going to come unglued. So it's easier just to stick it back in my pocket and say, oh, I'll save it for a different time. God said our time is running short. There's a lot for us to do. We need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be busy about the kingdom. We need to be busy about Him. When we treat Him in the relationship that He desires, we will go back into the secret place. Sis, can you pull up Psalms 91? Bear with me just a moment. I want to show you something. In Psalms 91, it talks about He's my refuge. He's my fortress. In Him will I trust. He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, or the arrow that flieth by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. You can replace that with my side. And 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only thine eyes shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come near thy dwelling. We want the power and we want the authority to be able to say, God, protect my home. God said, move into the secret place. We said, well, I'm trying to open the door, but I can't get in. God said, put down the cliff notes. Start your relationship again. For some of us, that's going to be calling on, pull out the audible out of your pocket. God put it there. You've been holding on to it long enough. It's about to get real. God said, He's not playing games. He's got a work for us to do. And in case we have forgotten, the music will come. We're the ones who are grafted in. We're the ones who's been, if you'll stand. I'm closing with this. We are the ones who have been grafted in to the vine. We're the ones that no one wanted. He said, but I want you, and I want to graft you in to the vine of life. We get angry and we get hurt when God begins to prune on the vine. We ask, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you letting these circumstances happen to me? He's saying, because I want to purge you. I want the world to know that you're mine. I want the world to know that you belong to me. Come on. And the only way that I can do that is I got to purge you just a little bit. I got to move, change your direction just a little bit. Some of us are a little more pliable about the directional change than others. And it's okay. Because we serve a very patient God. We serve a very, very patient God. And we need to be thankful for that. That He is so patient. But it doesn't change His word. His word says that He is the only way in. That we must first come to Him. And we must keep the fire burning. He told Ezekiel, He took him to the Valley of Dry Bones, one of my favorite messages. I love that message. He asked Ezekiel, He said, Ezekiel, what do you see? Ezekiel looked out and said what any of us would say. They're dead. They're dry bones, God. And I don't understand. I'm sure he was perplexed about, why are you showing me this? And he told Ezekiel, he asked him, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I'm sure Ezekiel paused for just a few seconds. Because when God talks to you, you got to be careful how you answer. He said, only you know, Lord. Only you know whether these bones can live. Tonight, there are some that have come to this place. And you, if I were to talk to you individually, you would tell me, brother, I'm dry. My bones are dry. I feel like I'm scattered. I'm scattered all around. I'm in pieces. You see, when he saw this valley, he didn't see just skeletons lined up in a row of full, complete bodies. He saw them scattered everywhere. They were just scattered. It was a mess. There was no way that they could live. And there are some among us tonight, that's how you feel. That's how you feel right now. You feel like, I'm so scattered. I don't have anything to offer the kingdom of God but broken, worn out, dry bones. God said, I'm going to pour in your cup. You're saying, God, all I've got is broken pieces. How are you going to pour into a cup that's broken? How are you going to pour into a cup, God, that can't hold water? How are you going to breathe life into a body that's scattered everywhere? My mind is a mess. My life's a wreck, God. How can you use me? How can you use anything that I've got? God sent me to this pulpit tonight to talk to you. Everything that has gone on is about you. That story in Ezekiel. When Ezekiel said, only you know, God, he was given God the audible card. He said, God, it's up to you. Do you want to play it? It's up to you. Do you want to play it, Lord? If you want to play it, God, you pull it and you call it. And God said, I'm going to play it. He said, but I want to use you, Ezekiel. You've got to speak it. He began to speak to the wind. He spoke to the wind of the four corners of the earth. This has boggled my mind ever since I've seen it. He spoke to the winds of the four corners of the earth. And he said, come and breathe life back into these bones. And they begin to move and it's shaking and they begin to put bone to bone. and that bone moved to this bone, and they all begin to line up. And Ezekiel said, when they become a complete skeleton, he saw sinew and muscle and skin come upon them. He saw God put back something that was not. You see, my God can bring things that are broken, things that the world have cast aside, things that the world has said, you're not any good anymore. God said, all I need is for you to bring it to me. All I need is for you to speak the word and let me do the work. God is saying, I'm the creator. We are the creation. It's not our job to bring it back together. Our job is to speak, thus saith the Lord. You say, well, I don't know how to speak, thus saith the Lord. And I'm not sure I can handle it. All God wants out of you right now if you're not where you need to be with God, there's one thing that separates you from Him, and that's sin. If you're not hearing the voice of God, if you're not feeling the touch of God, there's separation between you and Him. And He's standing. I told you, He's standing, and He's looking, and He's reaching across the divide. You see, He can't cross, He can't touch the sin. He won't cross it, but He's reaching and asking, will you reach back? You reaching back is real simple. I talked to my dad. We talked about this the other day, and it's so simple, but it's so profound. Our reaching back looks just like this. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. The moment that those words are uttered out of your life or your mouth, that divide goes away. And He begins to step forward. He begins to move forward to you and put His arms around you again one more time. You see, He sees you for what you are going to be. He sees your mess. He sees all of your broken pieces. He sees all of our scribbles. Every time we try to cover it up, and every time we try to make it new, and we try to cover it up again, He sees it again. But one utterance of God, I am sorry, forgive me, it's all new again. It's made new again. In Ezekiel, when he's prophesied, Ezekiel had to do the talking, but God did the work. God's already begun the talking right now. I'm already doing the talking, and God's done the work. He's beginning the work right now all over this building. I'm opening these altars tonight because I know for a fact that there are people in this room right now that you're so scared. You're scared out of your mind because you're afraid of what God is calling you to do. You're afraid of what God is bringing you to. You're afraid of what God is calling you into because it's new. It's undeveloped, at least in your mind. It's undeveloped. It's new territory. And you're holding back. Maybe it's your first time in an apostolic church. Maybe it's your first time hearing an apostolic preacher. Maybe it's the first time someone's told you what that tugging is in your mind. What that uncomfortable feeling is that you're feeling right now is the Holy Ghost. Is God speaking, saying He's reaching across the divide and He's saying, I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me to help you? Do you want me to make you new again? Do you want me to put the pieces back together? Are you tired of carrying broken pieces? I told you I was going to be real with you tonight. Do you want a new anointing? Young preacher, young lady, young woman of God, elder, let me talk to your heart for just a minute. God has been urging you. God has been prompting you to step out. God has been moving upon your heart to move in a direction for Him. God has already given you the word. He's already given you a direction. How long are you going to hold it? How long are you going to hold the card before you utter the word? God, I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord. Elder, how long are you going to let vines grow around you? Elder, how long are you going to let the vines grow around the foundation before you begin to shake the foundations? Say, God, I know there's a work. I'm strong. Can I talk to the Samsons in here? Samson, how long are you going to grind at the mill and let the enemy gouge in you and make fun of you? I'm not being disrespectful, Elder, but God is calling you to a new dimension. He's asking you to pull the weeds out, to pull the weeds off. He's saying, I'm giving you the card. It's time to play it. I've given you the opportunity. I've given you the authority. It's time to step into it. This altar's open. I'm begging you, and I don't beg very often. Do not leave this place the same way that you came in. If you come looking for direction, come to this altar. Let the men of God pray for you. Let them anoint you. God is in the business to change your life tonight. It's 7:30. I know what time it is, but God is not bound by time. God is looking for willing vessels. I'm telling you, God is looking for vessels that got holes in them that are saying, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me tonight. God, if you can use anything, you can use me tonight.